You are listening to Talking Star Wars. Good morning or afternoon.
Or evening.
Or tomorrow. I'm Connor.
And I'm Alex.
And we're here to talk about Star Wars today.
So our topic today, if you've listened to some of our previous episodes, we have been doing an ongoing review of every Expanded Universe novel that's in the current canon of Star Wars.
And this is a sequel. We're going to talk about our visual media representations of the Expanded Universe.
This episode is being released in the first half of 2023, and we will be talking about all visual media released up to that point.
Yeah, at least through Andor.
This is a survey of all non-film visual media, as in shows, whether miniseries or long extended series, you know, release that's in the current Star Wars canon.
All can be found on Disney Plus. We're not represented by Disney Plus, but Disney, we do complain about Star Wars, but we support Star Wars. We're helping you, so help us help you by giving us Disney Plus for free.
Connor, we already have Disney Plus.
Well, not for free though. That's the thing. It's that's the incentive, and maybe some extra donuts on the side. Who knows? But
so
Star Wars has a rich visual media that's really just started with the Clone Wars, because unless you count Star Wars Droids or the Ewok Village show, there weren't many entries into television. George Lucas never got to that, even though he had some plans to make a show set on Coruscant.
Television, you know, before 10, 20 years ago, at the current point of this podcast, was less of a prestige product than it is now. It was where washed-up movie actors went to die. Television or movies were where the real fame was, and TV was just the blue-collar acting work. Now, there is, with the rise of Disney Plus and HBO and other areas, there's been more prestige attached to that. But before live-action caught up, animation, I always found a place for quality in the television release market.
And so we begin with a pretty fascinating miniseries on Cartoon Network called Clone Wars. Not quite The Clone Wars, but it was produced by Genndy Tartakovsky, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, of Samurai Jack fame. His most recent work is Primal.
Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls. He's a big name in animation, and he lends his style and creativity to these micro-episodes that were 3 minutes long in its first season, later lengthened to 12 minutes an episode. But they're these little vignettes that show background into the earliest days of the Clone Wars. And we have highlights of different Jedi like Kit Fisto and Mace Windu and Anakin and Obi-Wan, of course, embarking on these early battles. I love the format of it. There's not quite been anything like that. Experimental TV at its finest.
Yeah, Visions is probably the closest we've gotten to since then, and we'll get to that later. But the Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars series is no longer considered canon, but it was the first way in which a multimedia project across both TV and written media all were setting up for, you know, the Clone Wars themselves and Attack of the Clones, the show, and afterwards, leading up to the Revenge of the Sith movie.
From there, we have a through line to The Clone Wars, which, thankfully, the showrunner for that, I think the showrunner has been Dave Filoni, he said that, you know, that previous show by Genndy might not be canon, but nothing in the 3D animated series discredits what's come before. So you can take it either way, and I'm sure there are different stories that might show the lead up into Revenge of the Sith differently.
Yeah, so to finish our quick look at the 3-minute micro episode series of Genndy Tartakovsky's The Clone Wars. So it's in 2 seasons. You can find the DVDs fairly easily.
It's on YouTube in high definition.
Connor is always a good place to know where to find media. So I've known Star Wars fans who love this and Star Wars fans that hated it. And that usually comes down to if you love or hate the narrative and visual style of Tartakovsky. So
a little fast-paced.
It's light on dialogue. It's heavy on action, cookie-cutter enemies, lots and lots of impossible physical feats. So if you are a super fan who loves Star Wars combat and wants to see Jedi at the height of their power, even beyond the theoretical height of their power, You can watch this. If you like duels, there's several duels between Anakin Skywalker and Asajj Ventress.
It has the greatest visual introduction to General Grievous. It makes him into a walking robotic nightmare. Definitely one of the best setups for a Star Wars character.
Yeah, but if you're looking for intricate political plots or dialogue beyond the functional, not for you. It is, and the stories are largely disconnected from each other. It is not telling an overall narrative. It is simply, it is more atmospheric and tonal than plot.
Yeah, the second season lends itself a little bit closer to an overarching story. Anakin takes a spiritual journey on an outer rim planet of creatures that don't speak common.
Basic.
Common's the rapper. But yeah, it doesn't delve into the politics and the intricate militaristic aspects of Star Wars like other series do.
Yeah. So, visually stunning, a little light on story. If you have a couple of hours and want to knock this out, go ahead and give it a watch. But if you're looking for, you know, to fill in your gaps of knowledge and lore, not a necessary watch.
That's correct.
The next series we're going to talk about is absolutely a necessary watch if you want to know, to fill in pretty much every gap that you might want to have filled in about the Clone Wars.
And to, in some hyperbolic cases, salvage the prequel trilogy for you and make you enjoy these characters that you might not have appreciated otherwise, because you have so much more context into that 4-year gap of growth that the Clone Wars put them through.
Yeah, so this series is The Clone Wars, which ran for 7 seasons, starting in 2008 with a premiere movie, which is how you did things those days, all the way through the revival on Disney Plus and completion in 2019.
And at first, it was not appreciated by the general fan base. I think they found the animation to be a little crude for the time. And I really think that George Lucas might be to blame here, because he sped up production on this so that they could release a movie as a follow-up to Revenge of the Sith in their 3-year cycle. And I think Star Wars fans were probably a little fatigued at the time. But from that movie, once the first couple seasons came by, that's when fans started to really warm up to the style of storytelling that the seasons demonstrated.
Yeah. Most notably, the Clone Wars series ran for quite a long time, you know, for a period of,
I think, 5 seasons.
11 years, yeah, to get all 7 seasons out, with a big gap between season 6 and 7, yeah, when it was revived to be finished off. But it runs the gamut. If in any long-running show, you have your high highs and your low lows. There, you get introduced to new characters such as Hondo Ohnaka and Cad Bane. You get return of other characters. You see Obi-Wan engaging in clandestine operations, working with other Jedi. There are intrigues in the Senate. You can go from one episode where it's an enormous space battle and Anakin Skywalker bisects someone with his lightsaber, and the next episode is a political thriller with Padme as the main character, and it shows how Palpatine took control of the Banking Clan to remove a check and balance on his power.
Pretty much every single background Jedi in the council room has at least one episode devoted to their characterization, or they're included in some way that is just crucial to the plot. There's a half Yoda guy, or a guy who looks like he's half human, half Yoda. He has the ears, but it's just a physical actor playing them. He has a wild Russian accent and personality in the show. We have so much more that's fleshed out, and it's not done in, you know, such a gritty noir way, although we do get episodes like that, but it's presented like Star Wars. The tone is Star Wars. It's these lighthearted adventures with a dark edge to them.
I wouldn't call The Clone Wars lighthearted. They certainly are some episodes that are more adventure stories, but there are some that certainly get quite grim.
Let's say thrilling. Lighthearted be misdirected. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and The Clone Wars has also served as the launching point for other media that we'll talk about in this episode and future episodes. The modern Mandalorian culture was first explored in arcs in the middle seasons of the Clone Wars. You see the planet of Mandalore, the fragmenting of their culture, which will eventually play a big part in the show, The Mandalorian. You see the slow fall of Anakin Skywalker to the dark side as more and more of his support network is stripped away, as fewer and fewer of his ideas are accepted, and just the toll of seeing hundreds of people under his command continually die in war start to tell, where he starts to prefer the expedient solution to win in battle, and that starts extending to other areas of his life.
There's also the gradual breakdown of his relationship with Padme, where I view his reaction in Revenge of the Sith, learning that he's going to be a father, now almost as much, oh no, I'm a Jedi and having a child, as, ah, things have been going really poorly with Padme lately, and now we're going to have a kid. This is yet another complication that I'm going to have to balance in my life. It's,
well, their relationship is toxic and codependent, because he still never considers leaving her, ever. But he also refuses to leave the Jedi as well. So he's caught between these two competing forces. And the Clone Wars show shows the deep conflict within Anakin in a way that makes the payoff in Revenge of the Sith more compelling and more tragic. We've seen the character of Ahsoka Tano, his Padawan, who he had gotten very close to, and through political machinations is cast out, has a deep and brutal effect on his psyche.
And what a great point of view character in Ahsoka Tano. Not received well by the fan base at first. I think just visually, her first design is just looks too much like marketing. I don't know why the clothing is so skimpy.
Late 90s edgy teenage girl look, but then grows as a character.
And I don't blame the character of Ahsoka Tano for the initial questionable wardrobe. I blame the people who designed her wardrobe to begin with, and she improves significantly over time.
But from has a very realistic character development across seasons and seasons, from a spunky and sarcastic kid who's out of her depth to a true Jedi who has accepted her role and is firm in her beliefs.
Capable, just like
competent, but still often unmatched by the forces arrayed against her and forced to make hard decisions in impossible situations. And then shout out to the great other arcs you see in the Clone Wars, from the pirate king Hondo Ohnaka to the brutal bounty hunter Cad Bane.
I was gonna just point out that we see the criminal underbelly of the Star Wars universe that's not present in the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, negotiations with the Jabba the Hutt for hyperspace lanes, to people being broken out of prison, to Boba Fett, this cloned son of Jango Fett, forming his own cadre of bounty hunters as a late teen during the later stages of the Clone Wars.
He has just a perfect gradual setup to becoming. We can see him taken in by a very poor crowd of influences, and we see him and his anger grow. And
yeah, this is the anger of Boba Fett, yes.
Yeah, and we're able to just understand where he's coming from. My favorite arc that redeems a prequel trilogy element is Darth Maul, of course. Whenever you hear, normies, or I shouldn't refer to them as that, but the people who are, where Star Wars does not have a place in their life or heart, they're like, who the hell is Darth Maul? Is that, like, the Insidious Devil guy who was in that one movie and he died? If they even saw the movie. It's like, yes, and he's just, as you can tell from our Spotlight episode on Maul, one of the most complex characters, and a member of the dark side who's not all about power. He does want power, he does want revenge, but he is able to show a new angle to the Sith faith and devotion throughout Clone Wars, all throughout Rebels, and hopefully we get to see more of what he was up to during the Dark Ages, or the Dark Times, the time of the Empire.
Yeah, if you'd like to see more about Maul, the Sisyphus of Sith, go ahead and check out episode 9 of our podcast.
That said, we've been lavishing on the Clone Wars for quite some time, but you will get an episode focused on droids or Jar Jar, which, you know, if they're not poorly written, but they're not to the same caliber of the Mandalorian episodes. Yes,
I wouldn't say aimed at children, but Clone Wars is definitely written with all audiences in mind. Mm-hmm. So you will get moments that feel more appropriate for younger audiences, but the high episode points in the Clone Wars are amazing, and it is worth sitting through all of it to get the full experience. Sometimes you might get an episode that seems less significant, and then a character will recur later, and the payoff, mm-hmm. even from a perhaps episode that on its own was less good in a longer series, has great impact. And sometimes that episode will have Jar Jar as a main character.
It'll be partnered up with Mace Windu, of all people, in order to...
It's actually a great episode, right?
It's great when you're... It's a red flag to have Jar Jar, and I think he's dressed as a clown. Maybe that's just a fever dream that I had about the episode, but...
So yeah, I would say one of the best episodes of Season 5 of The Clone Wars, maybe Season 6, is the leading characters are the Night Sisters of Dathomir, Mace Windu, and Jar Jar Binks as the concubine of a powerful queen. And just it works.
It works. It's bizarre, but it works. I would say transitioning to the final, to the strange end of the Clone Wars, where we have Disney acquiring and buying Star Wars. We have the halt of production on the Clone Wars, where instead of a true final sixth season, we get a partial season where we have some of the last story arcs portrayed. That's where we get a little bit of the lead-in to Order 66 and the organic chips that are in the clones, right?
Yes, yeah. So yeah, the final two seasons of Clone Wars are each half length. It was canceled after season 6 and then renewed by Disney for season 7.
Yeah.
It was impossible to resolve all of the dangling plot threads that the first 5 seasons had risen, and so they made the decision, okay, we got to take this all the way up to literally the moments right before rescuing Chancellor Palpatine in Revenge of the Sith. So we get the most visually stunning series of episodes is a climax that anything animated has ever produced in Star Wars, probably to this point, the Siege of Mandalore, which if you haven't watched it, you may stop this episode right now and go watch the final 4 episodes of season 7 of the Clone Wars. We'll wait for you.
They introduce it like a movie.
It is a movie. It's a 2-hour movie broken into 4 episodes.
It has the opening credits, you know, the Lucasfilm intro.
It's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So
that said, the prior episodes, it's the 7th and final season that Disney Plus released is kind of a perfect encapsulation of the Clone Wars overall, where there are some arcs that work and some arcs that don't work depending on your, you know, specific inclinations towards Star Wars.
Yeah, there are 2 other primary arcs in the last season, one of which introduces Clone Force 99, the Bad Batch.
Which we'll get to in a couple minutes.
Who now have their own successful and excellent spinoff series. And then you had a series of episodes about the Martez sisters, who Connor's not a fan of. I liked them for the characterization they provide to Ahsoka trying to survive as a civilian after being cast out of the Jedi Order. Connor thinks they are a waste of space. He's making faces at me right now.
I think that you have to be blind and deaf not to just... I feel like referencing our previous episode, I had forced precognition because I could just see the twists and turns of this story and they were in a straight line. So
yeah. Will you still watch The Bad Batch if I tell you they're in one episode of The Bad Batch?
Oh, yeah.
One episode?
Yeah, I mean, you part know, of it. Jar Jar was only in 2 or 3 episodes of The Clone Wars, and I still watched that one, so.
Yeah, Maul is in the same episode.
So. Okay, that's at least helps to balance it out.
Because you start seeing more of the underworld during the Empire period.
So okay.
I'm continually trying to get Connor to catch up to watching, having watched all of these shows.
Yeah, I haven't seen all of these. I still have my gaps, but...
Yeah, so I think that takes us to the end of The Clone Wars. I would say, of anything we're about to talk about, If I had to pick like one show, you say go watch all of this. There are 3 that I would choose and say go watch all of it: The Clone Wars, The Mandalorian, and Andor. All for different reasons. The Clone Wars is probably the lengthiest series to watch. You will see guides on. You can skip certain episodes, just watch certain arcs, and if that's how you want to do it, go ahead. Connor and I will, of course, always recommend you go and watch the whole thing and enjoy it yourself. But it is a commitment to watch 7 episodes of a TV show. But at least getting the character of Ahsoka and seeing her arcs will understand. But then if you would like to understand Cad Bane as he appears in Boba Fett, go watch the Cad Bane episodes in the Clone Wars. It is setting up so many plot threads that then make Star Wars feel like a living and breathing universe throughout the rest of these shows.
And I'm a proponent of the fan edit, and I'm watching through a fan edit of the Clone Wars right now, and even though I appreciate how it streamlines the storytelling, and it's sort of it's definitely shrunken in order to cut out some Gundar or Gungan-based episodes, I still appreciate the original run more, just because the format is wild. It's just kind of scattershot of stories of this part of the galaxy, that part of the galaxy. The variety is something that I value quite a bit. So
yeah, and you get introductions for characters as diverse as here's Captain Tarkin while he's in the Grand Army of the Republic before becoming Governor Tarkin and then Grand Moff Tarkin, and then you even get who becomes king of the Mon Cala, the planet of the Mon Calamari, and oh, and this is how they managed to get those ships that are present at the pivotal battle of Endor 25 years later is because the favors that Padme and Anakin Skywalker did for the people of Mon Cala and made Lee Char king, and then leading into the Rebels' attempt to get those ships in the comic series Star Wars, started being published in 2015. So it's all connected, and Clone Wars was a testbed and successful origin for many of the best stories that have come onto other both main universe and expanded universe material.
It'll definitely color pretty much each of the next entries except for maybe 2. There's also a couple episode arc featuring a kaiju. So go watch Clone Wars. Go watch it with your kids. Watch it with your cat. You'll have a good time with most of it. Join us next time when we'll begin our discussion with Star Wars Rebels. We'll see you sometime soon in a galaxy right here.